6. Trevor, are you ready to go? Are you ready? Are you good? Okay, it's 6:01 p.m., so we're going to call the October 26, 2015 Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call. Kowalczyk Adrians.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Dart.
Here.
Kornowski is here. Rapp.
Here.
Retzlaff. Excused.
Wheeler.
Here.
Okay. We'll move on to item number 2, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Are there any modifications anybody has? Okay, is there a motion to approve?
I move to adopt the agenda.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. This stays. Item number 3, minutes from August 31st, 2015, September 21st, 2015, and September 28th, 2015. Did anybody have any changes or recommended changes to those minutes?
Are we doing all of them together?
Yeah. I prefer to do them all together unless somebody wants to separate them.
I should probably abstain from August 31st because I wasn't present.
Okay.
So.
Hearing no comments, do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, all three sets of minutes were approved. Moving on to item number 4, announcements. If there's any announcements from Trevor or any of the Plan Commission members. Good? Okay. All right, moving on to item number 5. I guess there's probably some people here that want to discuss the Quick Trip proposal. Item number 6, that's my assumption. So we can have public appearances now, but we also will suspend the rules during item number 6 and give you the opportunity to talk maybe after the presentation's made. So again, you can come up now and discuss that issue, or you can wait until we get to item number 6. But if there's any other issues that anybody wants to discuss, if they're here not for the Quick Trip specifically, please feel free to come to the podium, state your name and address, and ask any questions or anything like that. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 6. And Howard, you are taking the chairmanship.
Item number 6 is a petition from Quick Trip for a site plan review at 1401 South Webster Avenue. And so we've been asked to approve or not approve this petition. So maybe we'll start with what we'll do is we'll have staff and any presentations by the developer first, and then we call suspend the rules, and everybody will have a chance to speak during that period, and then we'll take up the rules again, and then we'll go ahead and make our deliberation. So is that kind of yes.
From my understanding, you're going to make a deliberation tonight.
Yeah, based on what I just said, we're gonna vote to approve or not approve the site plan review that's in front of us. And at that point, it'll go to the village board.
You're
right, Trevor?
Not thinking anybody here is going to say anything that would change your minds.
Pardon?
You're not thinking anybody here is going to say anything that would change your minds.
We'll approve it or not approve it based on what we hear and what we see,
okay,
and what we discuss. So,
okay.
Trevor?
All right, so tonight we have a site plan design review for 1401 South Webster Avenue, current labor ready. Quick Trip is proposing to locate on this site. This site is currently zoned highway business use, so it is allowed for a gas station. So this, the decision tonight isn't based on zoning, it's based off whether or not it complies with the zoning ordinance's design features and site plan features. So the use is allowed, but the what the Plan Commission will be determining tonight is whether or not it is it fits with our design guidelines. Staff has reviewed the plans and made some comments. Items 2A, 2B, 2C, and 2D in the packet describe those comments. Those have been passed along to QuickTrip, and they have been discussed in everything seems to be okay, except a few items, which I think Bjorn or Brian will be able to speak on. Staff's recommendation that all these items are followed, and if they're not able to be followed, a reasonable explanation as to why they're not going to approve the project.
Do we have a presentation from the Quick Trip?
Good evening. My name is Brian Novy, representing Quick Trip here. Address is 1626 Oak Street, La Crosse, Wisconsin. And my counterpart here is Bjorn Berg, also of La Crosse. What we're here to propose tonight is a site plan at the intersection of Garland and Webster Streets, as was previously discussed. A little bit about Quick Trip. We're a Wisconsin-based company out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. We employ over 16,000 people. We've done quite a bit of development here in the Fox River Valley area of late, along with the other two states that we operate in, which is Minnesota and Iowa. We're planning on doing more development in this area, as there's definitely a lot of additional sites and locations over here that really meet our business. And so this particular location we're looking at as a Quick Trip Express site. And really what that is, the site, the size of the site doesn't allow us to put in a full-size Quick Trip. So what a Quick Trip Express is it allows us to offer the majority of the commodity products that Quick Trip customers are used to being able to get at our typical Quick Trips, just not all of the selection of the long runs of shelving and some of the things that we don't primarily push or sell. So that's what we would be trying to do here. Obviously, the size of this site doesn't allow us to put in the full complement of gas that we typically do. But this gives us a good start in an area that, you know, we hope to expand and definitely, you know, bring a property here to the village of Alloway that hopefully you guys can be proud of, certainly that we're going to be proud of, and certainly we're hoping to be good neighbors, you know, of everybody here. And we don't try to come to a property and develop it and make it in a worse shape than it already is. We've talked to staff quite a bit leading up to this meeting tonight about some of the current things that are wrong with the property or some of the flaws or some of the problems that it's caused. And throughout this site plan review process and our civil design, we've been able to take care of the great majority of issues that currently arise on that site and impact neighbors and so on and so forth. So I just wanted that to be known, that certainly along with ordinance, some of the things that we could do to take into account our neighbors and the village of Alloway was certainly part of our decision-making process for how we laid this site out. And then with that, if there's any questions regarding site specifics or anything, Bjorn would certainly be able to answer those for you guys.
Any questions from the Plan Commission?
I'm not, you know, I don't read these all the time, but do I notice that there was a curb cut on Garland and it's no longer there?
Yes, we, due to the site slope and the current grades on the property, We're proposing to close that.
Are there currently two curb cuts on Webster then?
Yes, there are. There
so
are
you're closing one of the curb cuts on the property?
Yes, one on Garland. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has the plan been updated since the version that we're looking at here? It looks to me like a couple of the comments that the staff had aren't addressed on this. For instance, one of the comments about maybe some additional landscaping that would block headlights on that east-facing bank of parking. I didn't see anything for that. And if you could speak a little bit, one of the comments was about how the storefront needed to face the main street, and I'm guessing that's a flow circulation issue, but...
Yes. Yes, I can speak about your first comment. Again, remind me what that was.
The headlights with an extra landscape screening for the east-facing...
Yes, yeah, so that is a comment that we are willing to address. We haven't updated the plan, but we plan to, pending an approval.
Okay.
Obviously, if we don't get approval, we probably won't update the plans. But
we
will accommodate that request and put in a fence to block the headlights from the vehicles that would be pointing to the east.
Okay.
And then in terms of the building arrangement, we did lay out about five different site plans for this site. And just due to the shape and current grading of the property, we weren't able to... get the building orientated to be parallel to the main road, which is Webster, and have safe traffic flow for customers and pedestrians. So that is why we chose to orientate it perpendicular to Webster.
Another one of my comments is dealing with the dumpster enclosures. I understand you have to meet the screening requirements, but
yes.
Just having them right next to Webster there seems like an unsightly place to
yes.
have your garbage.
And because of the comments that we received from the staff, we do propose and plan to move the dumpster enclosure to the east and fit it in between the retaining wall and the current building,
okay.
as it's shown, which would be next to the mechanicals, and we will screen that
Great.
With brick
Great.
Per the ordinance.
Another comment I had is, with the building orientation, the side that's going to end up facing Webster, is there any way we could get a window on there or some additional, maybe dress it up a little bit more? I understand that's not going to be the front of the building or the main access or anything, but it's, to me it looks kind of, to be facing the main street, like it should be dressed up a little bit more. I don't know if that's been looked at all.
It hasn't been brought up to date.
Okay.
It is a possibility, but I don't know if that is in any code or ordinance.
Okay.
But we would be willing to work with the staff if that is a requirement.
The primary reason why there isn't a window there shown today is that's the back room of the store. So it's one of those things where there's really not a whole lot to see in or out of.
Sure.
So for the purposes of a window, we could certainly put something in there, but it probably makes sense to blank it out, if you will,
sure.
or do something
just,
because...
Yeah. It just seems like there should be something. It's kind of just a giant blank wall. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me on that.
Well, yeah, it's true. It's on Webster, and Webster's a busy street, and people see that. It would be... I can see if it's a storage area or even showing that it doesn't work on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Make a fake window.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, pretend
it. Yeah, that's
a possibility. So I notice on that same elevation there's a hollow metal door. Am I looking at the right
yes.
end? Yeah, so there's we're talking about maybe dressing it up with a window that maybe looks like a window or something, but there is a hollow metal door there, so there is access from that side.
Yeah, sure. Yep, and that would be the delivery door
mm-hmm.
for the goods and products into the back room there. So, yes, there'd be the ability to do something different with that. That's our standard door that we use at all of our stores.
That's all I was asking is, you know, if we're going to try and dress it up a little, maybe the door could be
changed a little bit.
I mean, it doesn't need to be a six-panel oak. You know what I mean, just a little.
A little more curb appeal from Webster Street.
Yeah, because that's our main thoroughfare.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm.
I had a question about the retaining wall. In your redevelopment of this parcel, were you going to change the height of the retaining wall? Are you going to grade some of that elevation off to make it lower? Because, you know, you've got parking spaces there. And
yeah,
I'm trying to picture what it looks like now, but it's kind of a big drop-off.
Right. And, yeah, due to the current grades on the property and that whole block, we will need to redo the retaining walls.
Mm-hmm.
And they will actually probably get a little bit higher, but we are willing to make them aesthetic and appealing to the community. Part of it is in order to meet the parking requirements and the stormwater management that is in the current ordinances within the village, we need to make those retaining walls functional and regrade the site so we can manage the water that is runoff and is currently contributing to some of the flooding that is some of the residential area that is to the east. So in order to meet all those requirements and to improve the site, we do need to redo the retaining walls, and they will be slightly larger in appearance.
By larger, you mean taller?
Yeah.
But the purpose of that would be to, among other things, mitigate some of the water problems.
That's the biggest reason, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to make the site ADA accessible
for
pedestrians and bicycles and things like that.
And I know you have it in here someplace, but I don't recall what the exterior of the retaining wall will look like.
It'll be a block of some sort. So it'll be a split face appearance.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't designed the wall yet. We're just showing sort of in a very elementary level sense.
But just so it's not like a cinder block, you know. Or, you know.
Yeah, we'll make it somewhat aesthetic for the community.
And that would be in your revised, your updated plan, something
yeah,
that,
a final
that the
plan
village could see.
Permit, yes.
Yeah. For sure. Thank you. Any other comments from the commission?
I'm just asking my neighboring commissioner here about the lighting because I didn't really see it addressed and she's kind of pointing it out on here. Can you just tell us a little bit about the lighting of the
property? Sure. Yeah, there was a comment from the staff about light leaving the property. So we are willing to adjust that. I'm going to read the comment. Yeah, the comment was that all lighting must be contained on site to the highest extent practicable, and that all lighting must be dark sky compliant. The lighting is dark sky compliant, and if you look at our lighting plan, last page in the civil documents, you can see that there is currently some light leaving the property, which would be along Garland and on Webster, and we could adjust our canopy lighting either with eliminating some fixtures or adjusting their light level to make sure that we don't have light leakage off of the property.
That would be sheet E1.
Oh, thank you. That helps.
Sorry.
So those contour lines show the edge of the light trespass? Is that what that
is?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it might be hard to see, but all the little numbers are the foot candles.
Yep. So on Garland, it looks like by the time you get across the street, the foot candles are to zero.
Yes.
Okay. Well, your sign that you show, I don't see a detail for that. I thought I read somewhere, but I don't remember where it was in the all the notations, but is that just a ground sign or is that elevated?
It's a monument sign, which complies with the village's ordinance,
okay.
Which is no more than 32 square feet per side and no more than 8 feet high.
Okay. Okay.
With a 15-foot setback from Webster.
Is that,
and Garland.
Is that like a brick?
It would be a brick sign, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Complying with the village ordinance. It will be submitted in a later submittal.
Okay.
Not required at this time to be submitted, but we will comply with the ordinance.
Any other comments from the commission or from Trevor, staff?
I'm not sure if you want to go over the canopy.
Yeah, we can discuss that. So there were some comments about our canopy above the gas pumps, and it is in the ordinance that the roof is supposed to be mansard or gable with architectural shingles. We currently aren't showing that. Maybe the committee members can shed some light on that requirement.
We'd like to see that followed. I think I would
the
gable style
roof.
To match the building.
Mm-hmm. And the brick columns.
Yeah. Some of the discussion we had with the Quick Trip staff was that this canopy's narrower than a typical canopy. It might appear awkward. That's just something greater up there.
Could it be a lower gable?
I don't know. Can the pitch be less?
Yeah, we can do a mansard. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what a mansard is. It's sort of just a single pitch that goes up and dies. So it does have shingles on it, but it isn't like a full pitched roof.
And you would face the pitched out towards the street? Or
it's like a gable roof that's cut off on top.
The mansard is flat on top,
right?
I see.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, there really isn't the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah.
So instead of going like this, it goes like this.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I think that would add some aesthetic appeal for sure.
Yes, and that is in the ordinance as an option.
As an option?
Yeah, mansard, hip, or gable style with architectural shingles. So
okay.
Most likely we would propose the mansard style. We have that at other Quick Trips as well.
Mm-hmm. I think the color scheme that you show in your graphic here is, this is similar to your other Quick Trips?
Yes.
You have standard colors, I imagine.
They're the standard colors that are on. In my travels, I don't end up going past too many Quick Trips, so it looks similar, but then I just want to make sure that it follows your color coding.
Yes, it does. What we're trying to really do here is show what we would consider to be a mini version of a Quick Trip store, so that, of course, potential customers would be able to draw the correlation between the two.
Yeah. Mm. Is this the first Quick Trip Express in the metropolitan area here in Brown County?
Yes.
So we don't have any others to go look at, but this is the first one in this area.
On the side of the state, yes.
But you do have others?
Yeah, we're working on three in the Eau Claire area right now.
Any operating right now?
Not currently. Oh.
So it's a new concept for you guys?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Bike racks was one of the other comments. Where are those going to be added on the plan?
Yes, so when we move the dumpster enclosure for the refuse to the east side of the building, it will allow an area for us to provide the pedestrian access to the front door of the building through a L-shaped or a Z-shaped, if you will, sidewalk, and then off of that, where the dumpster enclosure currently is indicated, we will create a small area for some bike racks to meet that requirement.
And the hours of operation are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m.?
Correct.
And is that pump operation or just the store hours? Is the pump going to be 24 hours?
No.
The pumps will shut off at...
Correct.
Is that, Trevor, are other gas... Or is that how the other gas stations in the area are as well? Like just down the street, the Shell?
All the other gas stations along Webster are operated 24 hours a day. At least the pumps are.
So why would we do something different on the site?
That's not a requirement by us. That's QuickTrip's decision.
For safety reasons, we don't allow any of our non-24-hour stores to not pump fuel. We don't want to have customers there pumping fuel when we don't have an attendant there that can help take care of them.
Okay.
So we don't do that in any of our stores that are non-24 hours.
In your off hours, do you reduce the lighting in parts of the property, or you would probably still need to keep lighting over the pumps, but it would, you have a way to turn some off and you wouldn't leave the I know for security you need to have some lighting,
right?
Can't have it dark.
And yeah, correct. It'd be similar to what we do inside the store when we close, where you would, you know, similar to when we walked into here tonight where there was some lighting on but some lighting off.
Yeah.
We would do that same thing. We would dim it down so that it's not some sort of a beacon, of course, when we're not open, but that would allow enough light there to still maintain safety.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Any other comments? Questions?
Could you also go over, I'm sorry, the exterior finishes? I know we had kind of discussed brick siding.
Yeah, so we proposed using vinyl siding, which doesn't meet the ordinance. So we are, and the city's comments or the village's comments indicated that we need a brick finish on the exterior. So, and we had brick up halfway, so we will brick up to the soffit. The only thing that's a little bit difficult to do is the gable end. So the ordinance states brick, stone, or split face masonry. We would like to propose a stucco finish in the gable ends, and Trevor has seen that and said that it was quite appealing. So hopefully we can work together on that item. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Picture.
So what that means is the brick would, from the ground to the top of the wall, would be bricked just like normal, but we've got the gables in the building where like the QuickTrip sign would be and so on and so forth. Those particular gables, this is what we would propose to use a different material than brick.
Do you have is there someplace, a store that we could look up a photo of?
Yeah,
that might have a stucco?
All of our stores, all of our new stores, that's a stucco look with the QuickTrip signage in front of it, and it's just bricked from the wall. So it essentially would be the same look.
And what the EPIS is, it's technically called EPIS. It's a stone-looking product, but it's not actually real stone. Mm-hmm. But it mimics the look of a stone.
It's sprayed on, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's troweled on with the trowel. Yes.
Would that go where, in these plans, we're looking at the vinyl shake siding, so that would replace
the
vinyl shake siding?
Yes, that would replace the vinyl shake siding, correct.
And the reason for the change?
Due to the ordinance.
Yeah. questions. We should have the record note that Commissioner Retzlaff came at whatever time he came.
6:30.
6:30. Mm-hmm. And give you a chance to, you know, we've heard their presentation, and we're going to, after that, suspend the rules and have public comment.
Okay.
And so if you want to have a chance to ask questions.
There was a staff response comment regarding the orientation of the building.
Yes.
That it didn't face Webster. Did you respond to that at all?
Yes. So due to the current site and the really the dimensions of it, the shape of it, and trying to lay out the building and the canopy to provide the highest safe traffic flow, we tried about five different site plans, some of which had the building parallel with the main road, which is Webster, and they just didn't work well to get traffic in and out, especially truck traffic for our deliveries. So we chose to orientate it perpendicular. And if you read the ordinance, it says that that is an option when you have a tight site layout. So that we chose to do that.
Okay. Roger, we also talked about the side that's facing Webster, maybe dressing that up a little bit more with maybe a nicer door or like a fake window, something to break up the stone on that. That
would be nice if it was a real window.
It would be, but that's a storage
room. That's their storage room. Storage room.
So. Well, did you talk about moving the primary entrance closer to the street?
We did not bring that up, though.
Okay. Well, that's what I would recommend, because if you expect, we have sidewalks along Webster, and if someone's going to walk to the building, it would make sense that the door to the building be closer to Webster.
Is there a way to mirror the floor plan so that entrance could be on the other side?
Yeah.
I don't know how that... You're moving the dumpsters already over to the other side, so maybe a whole flip-flop would work out. I don't know.
It's possible, but the toughest portion of that is our truck, our deliveries for the goods, and getting them safely on the property and to the place of delivery. So just with the size of the parcel, it's difficult to get a semi in and around to the east side of the building. So right now we have the semi pulling onto the property safely with a right turn, straightening out towards where the sign is indicated, and then backing up to where the delivery door is there, not blocking the primary entrance, which is the northmost entrance on the site plan, allowing traffic still in and out, and then when they leave, they would pull out of that and head north on Webster.
So, the door on the west elevation is a delivery door.
Yes.
How much, what percentage of the building is occupied by storage?
I would say about 20% or less.
Can the entrance be moved to the center of the building?
Well, the difficulty with that is how we structure all of our checkout layouts now. If you're familiar with the Quick Trip, when you walk in, the checkouts are kind of down the far end of one side of the building. For a variety of reasons, we do that. Some is for theft reasons, some is for safety reasons, to be able to see both out at the pumps at the same time as being able to see out into the sales floor. If right now we have it to the left of the doors, our checkout, our coworkers are able to see out to the dispensers at the same time they're able to see out to the sales floor. If you put a door to the center, your really only option is to have a circular center-type checkout counter with their back to the pumps. And so then they're facing out into the sales floor area, but they can't see anything that's happening behind them.
So you're basically insisting that the doors be immediately adjacent to the checkout?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. What sort of outside merchandising do you have planned for the front of the building? Will it block this access from the street or this supposed walkway in front of the building?
What we typically do is one outside ice merchandiser and one propane exchange cage. The propane exchange cage is lower than the front windows, so it's easy to see in and out of. The ice merchandiser usually sits towards the end of the windows, so it's not blocking any vision. But those are the two things that we probably
do. But it'll block pedestrian access along this area and across the front of the building. So pedestrians entering from the street, from the Webster sidewalk, will have to walk behind the cars and then come in because you will be blocking that walkway with your outdoor merchandising, correct?
No, the depth of the sidewalk will be such that there'll still be a 3-foot pathway to walk between that and the parking.
Okay. Yeah, that would be helpful if you would show the locations of those things and make sure that clearance is properly indicated.
Yes.
So we've had problems with that in the past with another filling station. So So we don't want to miss that issue yet. So
understood.
What about the slope on the southeast corner? How are you going to keep water from flowing onto adjacent properties?
You're talking about the gap in the retaining wall there?
Well, there's a certain amount of land area that's slope.
Yes, and per the village ordinance on stormwater, we are meeting the code, which is to, grab my stormwater management plan, is to retain a certain amount of the stormwater. I don't believe Craig is here tonight, but he could help describe this. But there's a certain percentage of stormwater that we need to retain. Mm-hmm. But it isn't all of the water. So the water that would be leaving the site there would only be the water that is falling on the grass, not water off of the roof.
Is it possible to put some, like a rain garden down at the bottom of that might intercept heavy flows that would go into the alley and cross into another property?
Again, just to be clear, we're going to meet the ordinance, mm-hmm. but we aren't in a position to go above and beyond what the code is requiring. And the code doesn't require that we contain all of the water, only a percentage of the water on the site.
Well, it's just, you've got a condition here with a steep slope, and it just strikes me that you could get a significant flowage onto an adjacent property, one of the residential properties. So,
well, it's part of that with the retaining wall and the changes that are going to be made there, and with the grade changes. So it's part of the conditions. Sorry, as part of the conditions that were noted before, mm-hmm. it was talking about taking care and fixing the retaining wall and doing some of that work there. And we're certainly going to do that as part of this process. So by changing the grade there and bringing that up so that all of that water isn't sloping to that corner now, the way it exists today, we'll be able to keep a fair amount of that water on the property. And then when we fix that retaining wall, right now a large part of that water comes through because of the retaining wall failure and the gaps in the retaining wall. So at which point we repair that and then change the grade there, that's what we're proposing in our stormwater management plan, mm-hmm. that's what's going to allow us to be able to keep on the percentages of water that we need to on our site to meet the ordinance.
So you're saying that you'll be reducing the amount of water that goes off site now by virtue of the changes that you're making to the site. So yes. What will be leaving the site will be substantially less than the current conditions.
That is correct. And we worked with the DPW to make sure that that was being taken into account when our civil designer was putting the plans in place, knowing that that was a pre-existing issue here.
I have a question about the delivery truck. How often does that, and what time of the day does that truck usually show up?
It varies depending on the route that it's going to be on. I'm not 100% sure right now because without having it that far down the road and integrating it into one of our existing routes, I'm not sure what it would be. It would be daytime hours because our existing staff helps unload the truck. So it would be coming in there more than likely sometime during the day. And then it would make that delivery to the back, as Bjorn had noted. And that's a truck that's going to come every other day at the most.
And how long do they usually hang out there, unloading and unloading?
For a store like this, I'd say half hour, 45 minute stops.
Just to reiterate about the water runoff, the two things that you're doing is you're going to reconstruct the retaining wall and you're going to make it taller.
Correct.
And that will cause more water to flow in the opposite direction from the steep grade down onto the alley and adjacent properties.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks. Any other comments, questions? Roger, have you had enough time to ask all your questions? Do you have more?
No, that's pretty much all my questions. And did they were responses given to all of the staff comments at this point?
I think for the most part I brought up a few of them that I hadn't seen. It didn't look like our plans that we're looking at addressed, because they haven't addressed the comments with the plans that we're seeing now. But we went through, I think, pretty much all of them, and they will be addressed. If the plans approved tonight, they will go ahead and address those comments for final plans. That is what it sounds like.
I have a question about the, I know other quick trips I've seen towards, you know, out just away from the pumps, there's usually an air filling station. Is that something proposed, or is that not included as part of the express?
It will be part of it. It isn't currently indicated, but we will provide that.
And where would you locate that?
Most likely we would locate it at the east of the property there. Yeah, on one of the two northernmost parking stalls, or on the southernmost parking stalls, so that we could provide access to that.
Okay.
In a safe area, so that people aren't stopping the traffic flow.
You have something noted on your plans here as a bioretention basin.
Yes.
Could you, I probably should know what that means, but could you clarify?
It's required due to the stormwater ordinance, and the reason is to treat phosphorus and to remove total dissolved solids, or total suspended solids, which is part of what is collected in stormwater as it runs over grass and asphalt and whatever else. But the majority of the site will enter a storm sewer, which is really just a series of pipes that will lead to that bioretention area. And then that bioretention area is really like a filter. Think of it as an oil filter, like for your car, but it's for stormwater. It's to catch any of the particles that are in stormwater. So if it really rains hard and we get a lot of runoff, it'll filter that before it enters the village's storm sewer system.
So it's gonna, a baby detention pond.
It's a baby detention pond, yes.
Yeah.
To meet the ordinance and to remove a certain percentage of the total suspended solids that are in stormwater. Mm.
And the reason those are in the stormwater is because it's going to be running over the surface where gas is pumped and oil.
Yeah, there's also an oil separator.
Yeah, yeah.
In as part of the storm sewer system. Yeah. So any of those kinds of things will be removed before it gets to the bioretention area. The bioretention area really is to remove the dirt and the sand and those kinds of things.
Okay.
And the phosphorus, which is part of your ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's designed to, as you mentioned, to only collect 20% of the site? Is that what you said?
No.
Or that won't collect the whole site?
It will it'll collect, I'm not sure of the percentages. It's in the stormwater. Sub-area 1, which if you guys you probably don't have a copy, only one copy of the stormwater management plan was required to be submitted, so it's always submitted. But the site is broken into three separate areas, and the majority of the site is in the sub-area 1, which is collected in that bioretention basin. So there's almost a half of an acre, 0.418 acres, that enters that, and the other two areas are 0.198 and 0.022. So, yeah, I could show you guys this if you want to see this. So, sub area 1, all of sub area 1 enters the bioretention area 2 and 3.
So, almost the area of the site.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, sub area 1 all enters the bioretention basin. Through
like
the
80%
through the storm, and these other areas run off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sub-area 1 is collected into the bioretention basin and then exits into the storm system. Sub-area 2 and 3 run off.
So the bioretention area really captures 70 or 80% of the surface area from which over which water will be flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? I guess not for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, were we going to suspend the rules?
Yeah. What we want to do now is suspend the rules so that folks in the audience have a chance to make their comments for the public record. So I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules. We have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So feel free to come up to the podium and state your name and address for the record. And provide us with your comments.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Paul Willis. I live at 1033 Garland Street. We're directly north of the land development. From my perspective, my family's perspective, we're not big fans of the Labor Road anyway, but I don't think that another convenience store in our neighborhood is justified. We've got the Shell station just down the road. We've got a great local market across the street. So really, we've got convenience food in one spot, and honestly, there's other gas stations down the road too. And apart from just us not wanting some lights and everything else that comes with it being there, we don't think it's necessary that we have another one in the village right here. We like Quick Trip. We have nothing against them. It's just an unnecessary location. And then based on some of the things I've been hearing, we haven't had a lot of time to review this at all, but the time we have just tonight, some of the things that kind of comes out is that we're almost forcing this, forcing this development to fit the site where I know that there's open property just down the road where there's plenty of room. Right next to the bank down the road, there's no one's going to complain about the across the street, so it's a cemetery. It seems like a better fit for a convenience store like this. Secondly, there's going to be some water. I know there's water leaving now. It sounds like there's going to be less, but I know that there's a steep bank coming down to the alley. The truck loading is going to block one of the entrances. It seems like it's going to block an entrance. Could cause traffic confusion on a busy street anyway, with people pulling in, there's a truck there. It all just points to, in my opinion, besides the fact that we just don't want it there, that it looks like you're almost forcing something that should be in a bigger area into a small spot when there's probably better options down the road. It sits high. I mean, our house is facing right at it. It's going to be I know that it's great to hear that they want to just do it at night, or they want to shut off the lights at night, but there's still going to be light pollution. There's still going to be a lot more traffic stopping in our neighborhood. Things that just don't add up to a nice neighborhood feel, I guess. Other than that, I'm sure that there's other people that have comments too. My biggest concern, which hopefully is a little bit less, is that the light, there's going to be light trespass. There's going to be, I know that they've knocked down the foot candles and everything, which is great, and the shielding is good, but it's still going to be a beacon of light out there, regardless. So, I believe that's all I've got, and I'm sure there's others, but thanks for entertaining our comments.
Zakowski, 1019 Garland Street.
So what I'm trying to grasp here is this a matter of ordinance or a matter of necessity? Do I get an answer?
I would say neither. Is it, Trevor?
Why are we here then? If this isn't about the new Quick Trip meeting ordinances, is that what's being voted on?
Oh. I'm going to let Trevor answer that. I think he did when we started, but I don't think we're here.
Correct. This isn't allowed use under the current zoning. So the village can't dictate whether or not the use can go there because we have allowed it under our zoning. What we can dictate is we have certain design standards that Quick Trip must follow. So that's what we're reviewing today.
So I'm just having a hard time understanding where our opinion matters when we're not the ones creating the ordinances. So, like the gentleman back there said, is this a done deal? Because I'm guessing no one in the neighborhood, I'll be surprised, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing most people are going to say, hey, we got two gas stations within a mile, we have Century right, Webster Avenue Market right there. Why would we need a gas station that's not even going to meet what the other two gas stations do? Because if they close down their pumps at 10 o'clock, how is that adding another service to the community? Because it's going to be shut down at 10, and you can just go a half a block down to Shell and to a pump that's not. And then like the other gentleman said, the lights. Now I know our house is directly behind Los McGahee's, which with Labor Eddie's current lighting, light comes directly into my second floor bedroom window. So I fail to see how in any way that they could make it so that, what was it, zero candle lights halfway across the street? Yeah, that might be, but who uses candles anymore? Let's be honest, as far as a measure of the brightness of this light. That being said, we have the noise, the traffic. I just don't see how, if you deny the other two spots, why this one is somehow more acceptable for the community. And I just don't see. And then I'll also bring up, so the only other thing I could think of, right, is that maybe this was, we had a budget shortfall, and we needed to somehow pump up the revenue for the village. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I see this potentially putting one of the other gas stations or grocery stores out of business, therefore losing whatever tax revenue we would have gained from those. So I don't see, because I keep trying to think up reasons why this is a good idea, and I can't come up with any. So that's my main reason for saying that I don't think this should go forward. And that's it. If you guys have some, I would love to hear them. Even you guys. Because I don't see anything that makes this a better alleyway. Thank you.
My name is Jimmy Hansen. I live at Webster Heights, and I had my prepared statement because I didn't want to wander around, but coming to the meeting, I have to make some other points. The people from Webster Heights aren't here tonight because of what I told them. When the Green Bay Press Gazette, and is the press reporter here? Is there a press reporter here? When the Green Bay Press Gazette had a little blurb in there about some meeting and the gas station issue was coming up again, I came down here and asked, is that true? And I was told the press got it wrong. So I went back to my community and told them, don't worry, the press got it wrong. Then I get the email from, I'm assuming the clerk, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Please tell her to stop using acronyms. We have no idea what you're talking about when you always use acronyms. And it says it's on the agenda again. I feel I was, I'm not saying I was intentionally misled, but if it was going to be on the agenda, I would have liked to have known about it. The other thing that concerns me is that you're approving the minutes for three meetings right in a row. Why weren't the September 21st meetings approved August 31st? Why weren't the September 21st meetings approved September 28th? Was this issue discussed August 21st? Was it discussed September 21st? If it was, then the minutes would have been approved, those would have been sent to us, and then we would have known. So that would have been another way for people at Webster Heights to have known about this, and I feel bad because I gave them wrong information based on what I was given here. The other question I have is, when this issue came up before, someone from the diocese came up and told us, said in the meeting, if the bishop doesn't object to this, why should you? I'm new here. I don't know anything about village government. I don't know anything about how this all works. I understand that Alloway was originally part of the diocese and they own a lot of land here. But I would like to know, does the bishop or the diocese have any official, unofficial authority, ex officio authority within village government? Does it?
No. He's the property owner.
Okay, so he is one. Okay.
Could I just interrupt now? Your concern is for, originally Quick Trip wanted to develop a site.
And I have my points. I can get to my points.
But this site is quite a bit further down Webster now.
Okay. But I still want to, my points still relate to the issue, whether it's who owns the land or whatever. It's like the previous gentleman said, I have several of his points. So I guess I have five basic main points. The first is, what is the need? There are already existing tax-paying gas stations serving the area less than a mile apart from Webster Station, on Webster Avenue. Where is the need for an additional gas station? With the addition of Christ on River Drive, there will be a need for another gas station up the hill. There are already three gas stations close together. Why would we need a fourth? And I feel sorry for the people because the gas stations do accrue high traffic, add to the traffic. We already can't turn left on that area anyway. This will be deliveries day and night. And the 10 o'clock thing is nice now, but they have the ability, go to 24 hours if they decide. There is high lighting, high traffic, high fuel fumes, additional oil tanks, day and night delivery for semis and of gas and product, air pressure tanks. Those things make so much noise when people fill up their tanks. And the 24 hours is still legal. The other, my last point on this issue of is there a need? There are two quick trips already at the two other exits on either side of 172. If there's brand loyalty, and there should be an app for that for you guys, they can find a quick trip. There's already two of them, one exit away. It's not that there's not a need for quick trip. There's not a need for any other gas station on Webster. And my point B is, be careful what you wish for, or as I say, what are we, chopped liver? The residents of Alloway have made a significant investment in the community. Their homes. These homes signify the most, for most people, their largest single investment. Due to economic times, everyone, including retired people, are not making any interest on their retirement savings. The only reliable nest egg that they have is literally their nest. By building an unnecessary additional gas station within such a close proximity to two others and our homes, you'll ensure the loss of value of this last nest egg. The community, this community, has a prison in its center. The residential owners are the ones that stabilize Alloway. To devalue our homes is to devalue Alloway. Webster Heights owners have paid property taxes tickets, and as well as all of these people. Does that not have any value to have paid those taxes in and stayed in this community for so long? This gas station will take away that value. Do you really want to do that? The shuttering of a gas station is an expensive event for both the owner and the community. By bringing in Quick Trip, you are assuring that one gas station is going to go under and the other one will certainly feel its effect. Do we really need another empty gas station on Webster Avenue for the sake of a new shiny gas station and all the detriments it brings down the street? Who will repay for the removal of the tanks at the shuttered station? What businesses go into shuttered gas stations? Why take the tax value away from this property? Taxpayers who own that station live in Alloway have made a personal and financial commitment to this community. Those two stations have been good neighbors, good employers, good taxpayers over the years, if not for decades. Do you really want to be responsible for putting them out of business? The same can be said for Webster Market. Many rely on this store for shopping within walking distance of the area. If the Webster Market is affected by a new mini-mart, you'll be creating what is now known as a food desert for many people because low-income neighbors walk to this store. My next point is safety. This past summer, we had a series of thefts in our yards in our development and someone breaking into our clubhouse who was, in essence, living there. This person was initially ticketed for trespassing in our clubhouse after dark. The ticket was no deterrent. He came back. This time he was going and found the houses in the lower area and was then arrested. One of the owners said she was alerted that someone tried to open one of her doors. Even a trespasser near the bishop's home yard was confronted by their employees. I cannot express to you enough the fear that these documented incidents have caused in our neighborhood. The vast majority of our community are women living alone. Gas stations deal with a lot of cash. Gas stations are targets for theft and armed theft. If a theft occurs, which way are they going to run? They're going to run away from the main traffic of Webster Avenue, and that will lead them into residential neighborhoods. We have the right to feel safe in our homes. Adding all these factors, pros and cons, for the new gas station, it's quite logical to again deny approval for this project. And my last point is, many years ago, there was an area where my parents built a home. A company came in and wanted to build there for their business. The one thing I remember my dad saying was that the development was basically forever. Once you build it, you can never have it be anything else for this generation or generations to come. Those in favor said that they needed a tax base, case closed. My parents and the neighbors could not afford to buy the land, but they understood that it had value as a piece of property, and it could be something else and a long-term value that could be more than just a revenue source for the town. They felt that someone with a vision and the funding could and would come forward someday and do justice to the land and the community. And they were right. By By preserving the land for more fitting development, something special was built on that land and is now world famous, a point of pride in the community as well as a revenue source, not just in taxes, but the hundreds of ancillary businesses in that town, state, and community. Once you build a gas station, it will be forever for this generation, the next generation, the next generation. Please tread carefully and remain to maintain our homes and our property values and our safety. And I do want to stipulate, I will make the assumption that the laws of the village are in place to provide what's best for the quality of life of the village residents. And as far as the safety environmental standards, I'm going to trust that the commission has done their job and that it's going to do what's right for the safety of the community and the neighborhoods for decades to come. I will trust, but I will let others verify. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is James Carlin. I go by Craig, though. I'd like to know if any of you people live in the neighborhood that we're talking about. You do. Okay, very good. I just didn't know. I'd just like to say that I don't believe...
Excuse me, just for the record, could you state your address?
Oh, 1325 South Clay. Okay. I live right next door to Paul. Now, I don't think we need this gas station either. Just my own opinion. But I can understand why we're building it. There's a building there that looks like crap. We're going to replace that and have a nice new building. I understand that also. I think having it near our homes is a little bit of a problem. This is an area that is declining in traffic. I don't know whether or not anybody has said that, but it is declining in traffic. I understand, are there two truck lanes in this gas station? Is there an area where trucks pull in at all?
There's two entrances, yes.
No, is there an area for large 18-wheeled trucks to pull in and get gas?
No, only a delivery truck.
Okay, good. I thought I heard somebody say that earlier, and that just didn't make sense to me.
No.
But actually, like I said, I am against the gas station going in there. We already have a Shell station right down the street. As was said before, we have a gas station in the area. We have a grocery store in the area, although their prices are a little bit to be questioned. But I don't believe that we need to have this gas station. I don't think it needs to be there, but I think we're going to have it anyway because I think we're voting tonight to approve it or disapprove it, correct?
We're voting to approve or disapprove this proposal, and in which case, if we approve it, it'll go... In either case, Trevor, it'll go to the village board for their decision.
Right.
And a lot of the questions that you've raised and others have raised are ones that will be addressed there.
Okay.
Again, just for the record, our purpose here is to see that this proposal meets design standards. And it already has been clarified that it is a permitted use.
Right.
So,
I heard that. I heard about having the window and this and that. Yeah. And I thought that was getting a little bit beyond the horse. You know? Yeah. I mean, it was... didn't need to be discussed at this point. I thought this was being discussed from our point of view, but it's not.
I think you'll have that opportunity at the village board.
The next board meeting. Can you tell me when that will be?
Trevor? Do you know when it will be on the agenda?
I found out about this today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many of you found out about this today?
Saturday.
Close? So, I mean, we all found out about this in the last couple of days. We got a lot of people here considering. I'd like to know when the next meeting is. If you know that, I'd be glad to know.
It's the November 2nd, I believe.
But will this be on the agenda?
It'd either be on the 3rd or the 17th, depending on the changes requested and the ability for Quick Trip staff to meet those changes. It could potentially be on next Tuesday's meeting.
And can we find that out by calling?
Yes.
When can we find that out? The day before, the day of?
No, they would have to have their information for us by Thursday afternoon.
This Thursday?
Correct.
Okay.
In order to make it out of Tuesday's agenda.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. I am Tricia Nolan, and
street for 37 years now, so I'm probably the oldest resident in the vicinity of the Quick Trip. I just don't want to see like this lady said, I don't want to watch my property value plummet, and that's exactly what it's going to do. And it's going to, everyone else around us is going to plummet as well. Because the last thing we need is another business in the area that, as it is, in my opinion, Alloway cannot keep up with monitoring the conditions of Los Magallos, just for one. And the conditions around the building, the waste containers, and the oil runoff from the back vent pans. You know, if you can't do that for that business, and they've maybe cut the grass, by the way, once this summer. So if that's how Alloway is concerned about their residents, I feel bad for all of us, because I'm disgusted at this point. And now you're going to propose a Quick Trip right across the street from me. Not only does it shine in my son's window, that's my front yard. That's my living room. Windows right straight across the street from it. And to what purpose? We're not lacking gas stations, which everyone has said. We're not lacking convenience. We have a grocery store within a block of where Quick Trip is proposing. I just don't see that there's really any necessity to deteriorate the residential neighborhood any more than it already has. And so I'm very much against this. Thank you for hearing me.
I'm Leslie Landry. I live at 1027 Garland Street. This is actually very disturbing for me. I just purchased my home 3 months ago. I'm a single woman trying to survive on my own and make ends meet, and now I have to fear that my house is going to deteriorate in value. I struggled to save the money to buy this house, not knowing that this was ever going to happen. Another thing that concerns me is the traffic. The traffic is bad already. There's kids in the neighborhood. I have two little dogs. If they ever got out with all the traffic that goes by so fast, it's disturbing. Another thing is we've had that nice grocery store on Webster Avenue for many, many years. I just feel that having this convenience store go in is going to make that business suffer and maybe go out of business, and then we're without our nice close grocery store. And then I also feel that the Shell gas station would also go out of business with having this gas station a half a block away. We're all just trying to live here and have a nice neighborhood, and I just feel like this would really destroy what this great Village of Alloway neighborhood is by putting in a busy, busy gas station. Thank you.
Trevor, did you have a comment?
I just wanted to reiterate a comment I made earlier. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you feel about this project, it is zoned for a gas station. And that's something that we really don't have the authority at this point to change. The only thing we do have authority over is whether or not these aesthetic guidelines that the community has adopted and put in place are met. So the use of the building or of the business is allowed under those ordinances for this particular lot. So it's a private property issue then. If we zone it as a gas station, then that's private property rights. They're able to develop it how they see fit. As long as they develop it under a lot, or with it, as long as they develop it
an allowed use in, under the design guidelines that we set forth.
I would just like to add to that. I mean, that's the difference between the other location that Quick Trip was looked at and this location. The other location was not zoned for a gas station. So we would have had to give special permission for that. This is already zoned properly. So we don't own the property.
Can I just ask a question? If it was a different business coming in and it was still zoned for that, would you still have to let them do it? Say it was a strip club.
I think there's in our ordinance there's probably something against strip clubs, so I think there is.
We don't allow strip
there
clubs.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's in our ordinance. It's in our ordinance.
Not, it's not zoned.
Or it, say it's at the barber shop and you don't want to run close to a school or something. So if anybody wants to build anything on that corner,
as
you
long
have
as
to
allow use for the zoning district. I think that that's why it's really important that the public is involved in helping to decide the zoning, or you know, sitting on these boards that helps decide the. I know we've gone through a lot of codification for our ordinances of late in the last several years, and it's.
And there's no changing the zoning at this point.
No.
Not when there's a purchase up in the air or.
It's really
there's up. Other areas we might have to look at zoning and change, but at this point in time,
we're
not
permitted to change the zoning just because we don't like a proposed use.
Yeah. It's outside the scope of our mandate as a plan commission. You know,
okay,
our mandate
it's out of your scope. Was it in someone else's scope? The village trustees?
I
yes.
suggest you talk
okay,
to them.
That's a yes. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't think it's within the village's realm or authority to change any zoning at this point.
It would be like taking your house and rezoning it. That's
right. Yeah, I mean,
you can't do that to your property.
Fortunately or unfortunately, however you feel about the project, that's just the fact.
Yeah, the other issue is a lot of this is governed by state law. So the zoning, the procedures that we're allowed to follow with respect to addressing potential uses, all of that's governed in state law.
So then why are we here?
Yeah.
That's what everyone is saying as far as residents in this corner. Why are we here?
Because we're required to notify any property owners
within 3 days.
Within
I got this letter in the mail on Friday. Excuse me.
That's a village administrative issue. I'm sorry.
I don't care what the issue is. We have not been given enough time to do any kind of research on this, and you're moving in right across the street from me.
Well, this is a chance.
And
for
you just rezoned.
No, this
you
is a chance.
Just rezoned.
Excuse me, ma'am. This is a chance for you to come and see what the issues are. We don't make the decision for
well,
the site
plan. Well,
it really
plan. Sounds to me like
all
a
we do,
major decision.
We're kind of like a subcommittee for the village board. We make an assessment, and we tell the village board whether the site plan meets the requirements or not. That's all we're here for.
So do we have,
if
what you're saying then, according to what the gentleman at this table said, there's a November, early November meeting?
The site plan will be finally approved by the village board at a subsequent meeting.
Okay,
so
does that give us, how much time does that give us as residents to have a petition signed or do any kind of looking into it further?
Do you need to...
Zero.
You should call the village board members, one or more of them, and ask them the question, is there anything we can do? So, you
well,
need to do your own homework. You know, just to step back, I mean, this is a commercial strip that you've chosen to purchase a house nearby. Now, your real estate agent was not obligated to tell you that there is commercial property adjacent to your own that could be developed in another way. Because you are a purchaser not a seller. Okay? Unless you had a buyer agreement with a real estate agent, they didn't have to tell you that. So it's a question of how you, you know, of the property owner doing enough research to understand they're making a valuable purchase, you know, for their property. There will always be conditions.
That makes no sense.
But that is the way.
I've been there 37 years, probably longer than you've been on the board.
Well, was it an active gas station when you first moved in?
Yep.
So there's no change.
I think what we need to recognize. Excuse me. Let me speak. What I think we need to recognize is that we can't fix the zoning or the requirements tonight, mm-hmm. and you may or may not be able to fix them at the village board meeting that's coming up in November, but you should come and speak and do just what you did tonight, because that's how changes take place.
Wow.
And Trevor said it'll either be on the 3rd or the 17th, and if you call the village, they'll tell you which village board meeting this item will be on the agenda, and that's when you can take this issue up again.
My name is Jessica Willis. I live at 1033 Garland. You've already heard from my husband, Paul, but the question that I have is I understand vaguely that Quick Trip has proposed to build on other sites in Alloway. However, they weren't zoned for this purpose, and this lot is. Is there a reason that those properties can't be rezoned? I mean, I realize it's easier. It's another step. But I mean, is there a reason? What my husband pointed out, it seems to us like this. I mean, I like Quick Trip. I like cheap bananas and milk. But, I mean, it's like being crammed on this small lot, like a puzzle piece trying to get in there. I mean, I think you probably can see this. The delivery trucks are going to be pulling up in the front right here, blocking the two driveways into Webster. Like I said, I mean, it's just really crammed. Wouldn't it be better to consider this at a different place? And I realize that your job is only to say, does this comply, does it not comply? And I totally get that. But I think it's pushing the limits of what you can cram on a lot, to be totally honest with you. And I know other people have said the same thing, but we live on Garland Street. I appreciate the consideration that they took in screening the alleyway behind Clay Street. However, I don't feel like a whole lot of consideration has been given to the north side of property, where Garland Street faces. My house has been there over 100 years. The whole second floor is going to be bathed. Every bedroom is going to be shining all night long. I don't know if you've ever heard of dumpster being emptied. That happens in the middle of the night. It's going to be very noisy. I believe it might smell. We've got little kids. This is such an up-and-coming family neighborhood that I just really want to make sure that this is something that's going to be a good fit. Like some of the others said, I realize that's not up to you, what they build on that property, but please be very careful in not making too many concessions of your ordinances for this. I don't know. Does that make sense? Thank you.
Trevor, isn't there a restriction on when trash can be collected from dumpsters?
Correct. Yeah, there is a ordinance in our village that trash can't be collected before the hours of 6 a.m.
Oh, most of my babies, they come every Sunday or every Monday morning at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. Well, that would be something.
I've called the city about it many times.
Okay.
Sorry, not the point, but
and prior to that, when it was Hanson, that delivery truck was there at 4:30 in the morning. You could set your watch.
But it says it can't happen before 6 a.m. I just remember.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Just for public record, you have to say your name and address. The record book.
You want me to say my name and address? Excuse me.
Okay. Go ahead.
What is your name?
My name's Trevor.
Okay, Trevor. My name is James Carlin. Carlin. I was already up here once. I'll tell you, our house was broken into one time. Nobody did anything about it. We've still been after the city to do something. I realize Brown County has been prosecuting, but nobody did anything. Nobody. The cops were supposed to come. He didn't come back. You know what? We had to come here and file our complaint. Why? Because they couldn't handle it. That's what we have for problems. We have all kinds of problems where people aren't showing up. That's why we have a problem with this. We came here to give our opinions. You guys are saying, we can't do anything about it. We can only do this. Why did you have us come here?
We're required by law to have this
why
exercise.
Why are you required by law?
Well, that's
state law.
It's a state law.
Why?
It's our mandate.
We didn't write the law.
Yeah, we didn't write
the
law.
You know what the law is for? To make sure that we can make you do something.
The law is here so you can come here and see what the issues are.
Yeah.
That's what the law is for.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Amy Wilde, and I live at 1418 South Clay Street. I have been there probably the longest, and because the house has been in my family since 1967, and I've been in and out of that house for 45 years. And I remember when it was a gas station up there, it was a Sinclair station, and I know when Shell moved in, the gas station closed. It was a bookstore for a long time, and then Labor Ready. So, Mike, I don't mind Commerce. I like Quick Trip, and I feel the same way as Willis. You know, there seems to be many locations that would be way better that would fit. Because I'm thinking, how is it going to get in there, right? But I don't think anything has been addressed about Derby Lane. Or has there been any traffic studies? You know how Derby Lane, across the street by the tattoo parlor? Mm-hmm. Do you ever notice how people will try to dart across and get into on Garland or into Los Magways? Or, you know, it's not a good spot. And if there's a Quick Trip there and people are trying to get from Derby across with Garland there, I think you're going to have a lot of accidents. So I was wondering if there's any traffic studies that have been done to measure the type of traffic. And if not, maybe there should be.
Well, that was addressed in the corridor study for Webster Avenue, which
was
recently accepted by the Village Board.
I must have missed that email.
Well, wasn't it? I mean, you'd have had to have read the corridor study. It's available online.
It's on the
website.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks.
We have no other comments from our group here. I think I'll entertain a motion to take up the rules again so we can discuss this as a commission. So I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We're back in session. Commissioners, what's your opinion?
I'd just like to make a comment about the impact analysis report that was provided. As I read through it, it's just didn't seem to address some of the impacts that you would think that you'd want to know something about, such as what sort of traffic, additional traffic the store might generate, you know, what are the conditions that, you know, the users have considered to think that this will be a profitable venture. We've had a number of comments about existing facilities of this type in the community already, and a lot of them wondering what sort of economic impact to the community would exist. I don't see anything about that here. I don't see anything indicating. I would think we'd want to see in an impact analysis what aspects of the requirements for the site the proposed use can't meet. For instance, not being able to have this store face Webster. So it's I don't think this document meets the requirements that we're looking for in the analysis. So.
Impact analysis are required. That's a required piece of the site plan review. What is it?
That would be on the checklist, I suppose. It was provided, so.
If you look at page 1, or the attachment 1B, the developer checklist for completion, you flip over to the back. Item number 14, it lists what action that was taken directly from our ordinances. Everything in there is addressed in the attachment that Quick Trip has provided.
Circulation.
Other factors is kind of vague. That might be something that economic impacts include, but it doesn't call it out specifically.
So of this list, I see utilities have been addressed. Circulation has not been addressed. Surrounding land uses has not been addressed, other than noting that there's adjacent residential. Noise has not been addressed in the impact analysis. So I would want to see some more detail.
Any other comments?
I'd just like to know, Trevor, do you know if what Roger is asking is required by them?
I guess me going over it, noise, I was thinking, well, they're, you know, their hours of operation are between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. I guess that's what I was considering when I was thinking noise. So they fall within the hours of operation time period for trash collection and that sort of thing. Are you thinking about music and that sort of thing for noise, or...?
Just, you know, the whatever noise generating activities would occur on the site. You know, for instance, the air conditioner has a dB rating of the condenser that's located outside. You'd want to see that kind of thing. An impact analysis and whether it would be significant, assessment of whether it would be significant. You know, they must have some anticipation of hourly traffic, how many people come in for the store to be profitable. I would think we want to see some kind of information that way. So that would address traffic issues.
That is something that I can talk to Brian if you want about, or unless you guys want to address it at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, in general, typically, you know, we're proposing a convenience store at a particular location, things like, you know, car wash dryers or some of the, you know, higher volume type things that are at some of our larger sites are the types of things that we typically do reporting on. In regards to, you know, what we're expecting from this site, really it's the traffic generation is just going to be whatever noise is generated by the traffic that comes in. Now, we can guesstimate what we would like to see for customers here and different things like that, but that may or may not be, you know, what inevitably happens. But as far as outside noise... But
you do know what it would take for the store to be profitable, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I would expect to see that kind of figure reported.
Okay, so based on sales then?
Yeah, something like that. How many, what sort, how many people come through the door on a daily basis? Kind of thing. So for business to be profitable. So.
I think what Roger's asking are some additional information that would probably help answer a lot of the questions that we've heard tonight, you know, regarding noise and you know, environmental issues. I know some stations have music playing, so that's another noise issue. What is to me, anyway?
Yeah, do you have pumps that have these speakers?
We do not.
So, but those kind of issues, those kind of, you know, responses in regard to this environmental impact would go a long way towards helping everyone understand what's actually going to be there.
Sure.
So I guess I would support the request to have more thorough information on that.
Is that
point.
Something, Trevor, that you could provide us with a list of additional things that you guys would be looking for?
Would we make that just part of our motion?
I think so. I think we should. Yeah.
So. Is it possible to address some of the concerns on Garland Street of having any more plantings on the Garland Street side? Because I can see, you know, there's a lot of nice trees in back of the alleyway there. And then I see that the driveway is taken out and there's turf in there. Is there any way we could add some additional planting in there to address some of the issues they have on Garland?
Like where the east side driveway is there? Or along
the where the along driveway the used to be in that area with a detention along the detention pond. I can't tell how wide it is. It says turf. On L1?
Yeah, it would, yeah, essentially right now the way that that's designed would be for a grass area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could there be the ability to do additional landscaping there? There certainly could.
But yeah, I think that's what I'm asking. They said they see a lot of buffers in this other area, but there's nothing as a buffer for Garland. Maybe that would help with some of those residents' concerns. I think that you meet all of the standards that we are requiring. It's just a good neighbor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think based on the comments we heard from the folks that live on Garland, you know, that would be a gesture that would be appreciated.
Sure.
Going forward.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you could do some different plantings there or, you know, some small trees or something of that nature.
It's not a big cost and it might have a big positive impact on
absolutely
circumstances.
Right.
Any other comments or questions for staff or the developer? If not, I think we're probably ready to entertain a motion on this agenda item. And I guess it can include a couple of the most recent topics that we've covered, plus anything else that's... I'll let whoever's going to frame the motion do that.
Well, I'll let the other commissioners disagree with me, but it appears to me that the site plan with modifications that we've discussed tonight and that have been addressed by the staff review appears to meet the code requirements, and that we can recommend approval to the village board conditional upon meeting these staff requested changes, such as providing retaining wall design,
design being submitted in accordance with and meeting the design requirements of our code. And then some of the requests that have been made that probably are a little above and beyond the staff conditions, but dressing up the front side of the building a little bit more, or the front being what's facing Webster, and then some additional planting along Garland to provide some screening or light blockage. What are some of the other? I know we addressed, we talked about, which was also a staff comment, but the canopy design changes, some additional brick and the shingled partial peak. I forgot the name of that.
The mansard.
Yes. And then also the facade changes for the brick and the stone versus what's shown in here, which is the siding finish. And I think I'd like to just incorporate the remainder of the staff review comments by reference, because I know there were several other ones. Bike racks. And then to Roger's point of showing dimensions to provide any outdoor merchandising to verify that we have pedestrian clearance and access to the front. So am I missing any big ones?
Impact analysis.
Maybe some updates to the impact analysis, which would verify that some of these requirements, particularly circulation, maybe noise, that seem to have been maybe a little inadequately addressed.
I think we have a motion. We have a motion on the floor.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. You want to... Piece of cake.
Okay. We'll continue. Item number 7, action regarding resolution 2015-33 recommending adoption of the amended Village of Alloway comprehensive plan. I've had the pleasure of being able to read every item in this packet, so...
Twice.
So... Are there any comments? I know we discussed it at the last meeting. Looks like all the changes that were requested were made. So unless there is additional comments, I'll entertain a motion. Or Trevor, I'm sorry.
Are you able to do a roll call vote for this? Just so we have for record.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I still need a motion to approve, though, I believe.
So moved.
Okay. Second. Okay. Motion and second. Kowalczyk Adrians?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Dart?
Aye.
Kornowski? Aye. Rapp?
Aye.
Retzlaff?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Passing unanimously. Moving on to item number 8, discussion of the state legislation on the use of the surplus revenue from the Brown County 0.5% sales tax. I saw the memo that you put together. It looked like a lot of the things that we discussed the last meeting also. What's the process? Was there some recommendations?
This was unanimously approved by the general, I think, last week, and it goes before the assembly tomorrow for final vote, and then assuming it gets signed by the governor, then we should be looking by next week. We should have a more clearer picture of what we're going to be getting and when we're going to be getting it. Right now, we're still kind of generating ideas. Nothing final yet.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I wasn't clear on that. That's kind of what I was asking regarding your memo. What's the timeline there? Is this going back to committee? Who's going to be taking kind of charge of this?
I believe how the legislation reads is the governing body or village board would have to make adopt a resolution.
Okay.
I think it would be appropriate for the plan commission to adopt a similar resolution with a list of things that you'd like to see. I know Public Works, I anticipate Public Works doing something similar. So the village board would also have some recommendations for me, the plan commission, and some recommendations for Public Works, and maybe even an economic development committee as well. So I guess it's just more or less something to be thinking about. No actions required tonight.
Okay, so you don't want any comments tonight?
Oh, definitely welcome comments.
Or would you prefer comments via email individually?
Yeah. That might work easier.
That's fine. I'd like to hear Roger's comments.
Yeah, certainly we can
give
comments.
I only have two.
Yeah.
And that's based on having looked at comments from some of the other committees that, like, especially economic development. And what struck me is that the community seems to be making, I've only lived here, maybe going on 5 years now, but it seems to be making very little progress on the economic development front. And my sense is that we really haven't hit on either the combination of people or the particular person that knows how to draw in viable development opportunities to the community. So my main interest in seeing some would be to engage an economic development consultant that has a proven track record advising communities like Alloway on successful development proposals for open parcels and parcels in need of redevelopment. And the other thing I think would be a valuable thing to spend money on would be to update our zoning code so it matches our comprehensive plan and our corridor study.
Are there limits on what the money can be used for?
It's
there were three things, right?
Debt reduction,
economic development,
and then there's a third one.
Was it
loan reduction?
Property tax relief.
And with a lot of discussion we've been having amongst staff and in hearing discussion within the community as well, I think the best use of the money would be in economic development. Because we're talking about $750,000, which is relatively small when it comes to the grand scheme of things, but potentially big when it comes to economic development. Because, as Roger mentioned, I think in the past, economic development has kind of taken a backseat because of shortage of funds and other things. This might be an opportunity to kind of make it more of a priority. very long pause and quiet. Making any comments or?
A lot of these, Roger had some great ones too. So I think the list contains what we discussed.
Roger, when you're talking about economic development consultant, that's similar to what we have as an agenda item, that RFP. Is that the kind of stuff you're thinking about?
Well, or that RFP is really, this is the kind of thing an economic development consultant would help us develop.
Okay, yep. I just want to make sure I'm on the same page.
I've made some comments on the text.
Okay.
This one also, but I won't go over those. it's really developing a strategy. I know that who was the gentleman from the Economic Development Committee that came in here and showed us that marketing analysis.
I believe that's Fred Montague from the Advanced Office.
So, you know, someone who can take that and make use of it and bring developers in who can come up with viable solutions for developing parcels that we want to see developed in a particular way based on having approved the corridor study. Mm-hmm. So it's really the next step. Mm-hmm. After having done the corridor study, after having addressed a challenge to what our plan was, and trying to move forward so we don't have to defend ourselves against low-grade developments, but find a way of scheduling, working out, getting these open parcels moving. Mm-hmm.
I will say I know there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes right now in that area, so it's not like we're not moving. They're just not shareable at this point in time. They're not. There's nothing concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're stagnant. But I'm sure the staff wouldn't mind extra help on that.
It also sets realistic expectations, too, for some of the things that we're trying to do as far as what the market's doing right now.
Right.
So I think it's a great idea. I don't have anything else to add. Is anybody else? Okay. You got what you need for that, Trevor?
I'm sorry.
You good?
Yep.
Okay. Move on to item number 9, regarding request for proposal for 1649 South Webster Avenue. I think it's a great approach, but it sounds like there's some editorial comments that the Roger has.
Well, in reading through it, I just find some of the wording clumsy, and if you want developers to read this, it kind of needs to read like it needs to be fast and easy to read, sharp bullet points, well organized, so they don't have to spend a lot of time with it, but they can be attracted to very high quality aspects of the site and of the community. So I think there's the whole proposal is a little too wordy. Has some things about the community that aren't going to be necessarily important to a developer.
Can you just share that information with Trevor?
Yeah.
Seems like you have a hand on it.
But
it's the right approach. If there's contextual changes, if we want to bring it back, I don't see a need if you want to get moving on it, but if you got any comments from Roger, you guys work together, I'd I'm fine with that if everybody else is. Unless there's other comments.
Yeah, I just would like to see it a little.
Leaner.
Leaner, yeah.
Leaner and meaner?
Not meaner.
I know what you're saying.
A little more attractive.
It takes a little while to get to the point.
Right.
It seems like. Some of the wording was maybe a little vague. Willing to use various economic development tools available to assist.
Kind of spell some of the things out that we have.
I mean, you don't want to pigeonhole either, so I can see why you want to leave it broad. But
there was this one comment in here about development of the site will be overseen by the Village of Alloway Board of Trustees. That's going to scare developers away so fast. So they're going to want more freedom to figure out what really can go in there and what will work. So
have any of you guys looked at the data sheet that's put on this property?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. It's more like what you're saying, like bullet points, and mm-hmm. a little more direct. So we kind of fashioned it after some of the other ones that have been put on the past up here. What were the other ones? Sturgeon Bay.
Sturgeon Bay.
Which was extremely, extremely wordy.
Right.
So we tried to keep it even shorter than I think than what DePier put out. But mm-hmm. I think that we need to look harder at the data sheet and that kind of a format is what he's saying.
We sent this out to an area community planner as well for just their input as well. And some of the comments we got back, actually we only had two comments from them, but it was maybe have the developers send all the information to the village hall, just kind of maybe keep the contact as Mr. Wheeler, but send all the proposals to the village hall, just kind of clears things up a little bit, makes it more transparent, and also maybe you want to include a timeline for narrowing down in case you do get an overwhelming response, which would be ideal. Here, I think they did theirs, and from what I understand, they only had two or three proposals, but they were very specific in what they put out, so maybe that's.
You almost don't want to say too much because you want them to contact you or Mr. Wheeler to get more information. You want maybe a letter, maybe one page, maybe two pages that begs them to come to you.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely want the phone to ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I was talking about an economic development consultant who can, instead of just sending out this kind of cattle call to developers, fine-tune the type of developer, you know, and their specialty. Looking for a more qualitative approach.
Do you have good direction on this, Trevor? I mean, I'm not 100% sure what the action item would be. Are we approving the process or are we approving the document?
I guess if you guys like the kind of the process we're going through, that's the main thing we're looking for. Ideally, we'd like to get moving on this.
Sure.
Only because then it gives the developers, you know, 2-3 months to kind of put something together and maybe we can see something, you know, in front of us to be proposed by March or April when things are starting to happen.
Sure. Yeah, that's the way we will interpret it. We're approving of the issuance of an RFP to develop the Village Hall, former Village Hall property. If that is okay with everybody else, I'll entertain a motion.
I will make that motion. Just like you said.
Second that motion.
All right, great. We've got a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, great. Moving on to item number 10, update on WISDOT Highway 57 Riverside Drive Reconstruction Project. I'm not sure if there's a lot to talk about. If there is, then please correct me.
No, I think Brett brought it up at the last meeting. I just wanted to bring it up again. According to the state's website, resurfacing 2016, utilities 2020, and new construction is anticipated for 2021 and 2022. So that is pushed back about 4 years.
Sure.
And that was just kind of update, keep it on, or I'll keep you updated as the process goes on. But
yeah, that's fine. You can stay on the agenda. Just see the changes. Any questions about that? Or
one question. I'm jumping down to number 14, but how do those two tie together time-wise?
Well,
concurrent would be bad.
I don't think it's anyone's intention to have anything going concurrently. I think Webster will probably happen after. So
that's
okay.
Out there in the future.
Okay, great. Moving on to number 11, update on TID number 1 amendment. Is that just the status of it?
Right. Yeah, it was approved by the Village Board after you all recommended it on September 15th, and then also approved by the Joint Review Board on October 5th. So that allows us to capture the development that has taken place in those parcels this year.
Great.
Yeah.
That's good news. Any questions on item 11? Okay, moving on to item number 12, discussion of sign code. Yeah.
I make a motion that we table that discussion.
Tell me. if there's a second.
There's no rush on that, is there, Trevor?
No, it's... No.
Okay.
I've discussed it so many times.
There's a motion to table the discussion of the sign code. And all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Is there a...
I'm just bringing back on the next agenda.
Yeah.
I would say it would be fine.
Sure.
That
is crazy. Right.
That's true.
Item number 13, discussion of recodification project. I looked at that one also as one that maybe we could push out, but when I read your memo, you're looking for some direction, it sounds like, or you wanted to present something this evening.
We would, but there is some flexibility. We just have to let your general code know. Part of the contract is we have to meet the deadlines they put in place. There is some flexibility here, though.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to. We don't want to stall that. That's for sure.
Right.
So if it is something that we need to discuss tonight, we will.
I just wanted to go over. I think that email might have been a little confusing. Just kind of what I was expecting from everyone. I'm not sure. You can let me know if it was. But we're going to be looking at updating the zoning code more intensively. This is just kind of highlighting some of those inconsistencies that that take place over the years, like as state statutes get updated and everything like that. So they have suggestions as you can kind of see as you work through them. But we can discuss that at the November meeting.
Were you looking for kind of a form discussion this evening, kind of the form of it? That's kind of what I got from your memo for how it's going to look, or would you actually have some...
Well, I was going to show you, just kind of walk you through what the final product will look like, just so you have an idea of what we're kind of doing, but that's we can do that in November. That's fine.
Is everyone okay with that, or would you like to go forward with the...
Well, I mean, this is kind of technical. Maybe it makes sense for two or three commissioners to sit down with Trevor and
sure.
just go through this stuff and then report back.
Yeah. The recodification is kind of a... That's what I kind of thought you were talking about, the form of it, maybe not the actual content.
Okay.
So, am I accurate in assuming that?
Yeah.
or did you want us to review the content?
Just the content. I think a lot of it's really straightforward. I mean, it's like no-brainers. I think one is like, well, this statue is no longer in existence. What do you want to do? Leave it or take it out, or leave it or replace it with the current statue. I mean, a lot of it's really straightforward like that. I mean, but
okay. Now, did so anybody print out this thing?
I didn't print it.
I
looked
at
it online.
So
I've
got a copy of it here, which I can send around if you want to see what it looks like.
Oh, I'm definitely in favor.
Our portion of
if there are
like.
Commissioners that want to talk with Trevor directly over the next couple of weeks, and
the purpose of putting it on tonight's agenda is just to kind of clarify what we're kind of doing, not really get any action, because realizing that it is, you know. A lot of it's no-brainer, but some of it takes some thoughts and consideration, so it will take some time. So I don't want to put an immediate action item on the agenda. But.
Sure.
Okay.
Is it possible, like, to get, like, done with all the no-brainers so that we don't have to look at them and then move
sure,
on? Or do we have to... Is there some process that we have to go and say, yes, that no-brainer counts?
You have blanket approval to update statutes.
Okay.
All right, it's not a big deal. Okay, well, I like that approach. I mean, if there's interest in plan commissioners, Trevor, will you take comments from plan commissioners throughout the next couple of weeks? Since it's not an action item, maybe it's something we can all work on individually.
So as I look at some of this, it's just even wording so that it's consistent. So if you use one terminology in this section and you're using it in a different section, some of the no-brainer stuff is just being consistent.
Right. Like our code enforcement officer, for example, he had one, because we all kind of split this up. He had one that said, in this chapter it's referred as backyard, in this chapter it's referred as rear yard, what would you rather?
Election sign or political or campaign signs.
Right.
Okay. So if anybody has any comments after they look through what Trevor sent, certainly send them to Trevor and we'll move forward. Any other discussion? Any recodification? Okay. Moving on to item number 14, report discussion on Brown County scheduled for the reconstruction of Webster Avenue. Trevor already gave us an update on that.
It's not currently scheduled. It's kind of far out. Public Works Committee did have on their agenda review of possibly a St. Joseph Webster. St. Joseph is currently scheduled to be reconstructed in 2017. So Public Works Committee kind of thought that it might be nice to maybe set an example of what we want Webster to look like redoing that intersection of Webster mm-hmm. and St. Joseph at that time.
Is that that corner where we were talking about having a public plaza space as
right.
part of the comprehensive plan, and then the Arboretum Trail was also down St. Joseph?
Correct.
So those are things that maybe could be incorporated at that time too? Maybe.
Right. Yeah, more probably sidewalks and the Arboretum Trail. Mm-hmm. In fact, the plaza that probably has to be something for sure for the property owner. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So we're thinking that Webster itself is going to be well after 2020.
Right. It was anticipated a few years back for 2020, but right now it's not even on Brown County's schedule.
Okay. Any other comments regarding the Webster Avenue construction? Okay. Moving on to item number 15, report discussion on Green Bay Metropolitan Planning Organization 2045 Long Range Transportation Plan.
So a lot of this, it talks about a lot of the rural parts of Brown County. And this was
voted on that, you know, on our Cooper Center. So this is already kind of adopted by Brown County, but I just kind of wanted to give you the main synopsis of what their goal is. And it's creating a community where people in Prairie are able to move about safely and efficiently through the year 2045, recognizing that continually building for automobiles only perpetuates the inability of people to walk. So a lot of it's, they're recommending multimodal transportation is what it gets down to, in ways to accommodate multimodal transportation. So I thought that was just that. Save you from reading the 150 page document.
Does any of that address land use patterns?
Like traditional neighborhood development, it does, yeah. Is that what you're kind of asking? They promote communities to kind of orientate buildings to be more pedestrian friendly.
Right, but that, when you're talking about land use patterns, you need to address densities.
Oh, right. They address that as well.
Okay.
Oh, and one thing I did see in there is they encourage every community to have a bicycle pedestrian plan by year 2020, which we're currently doing. So,
how's that going?
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything.
I've never heard anything either.
Yeah. Oh, really? How's it going?
It's it's a little slower start than I anticipated. But it's going. It's going well. We can provide an update if you're interested.
Sure, that'd be great. Okay, fantastic. If there's no other discussion, we'll move on to item number 16, discussion of annual site tour. I unfortunately was out of town, but anybody that was on the site tour, welcome to give comments.
Just a comment is I just find it really useful. It's so nice to go up to that property and look and see it with other people's eyes and, you know, point things out. And it's just a nice thing to do. That site down by Home Medicum. Yeah. To really look at that site and see what's there was just very, very helpful. And same with where we were in Derby Lane. I know someone mentioned it earlier about that.
The offset
in the road, and as she was talking about that, I was real conscious of, yeah, we were there, we looked at that, we discussed that, and it just makes it so much clearer.
Things look different when you're actually on foot walking around rather than driving by in your car. You see things differently. And then we noticed all the overhead utilities. You know,
yes.
Power lines.
And the size of the diocese site, I think,
yeah.
We commented on when we were there.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
When you're there, when you're standing there, there's a lot of space
yeah.
there.
The depth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We walked into the back part, and you wouldn't know that there's a main thoroughfare just a few hundred yards away or feet. Yeah, so it's definitely worth doing. Even though we didn't get to Zesty's this time.
We wanted to start it earlier in the year so the light stays on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, great. There's no other discussion there. Item number 17 is next meeting date, currently scheduled for November 23rd, and agenda items. From tonight, I have the sign code. We'll talk about that. Maybe put the recodification back on just to see if there's any updates or you need anything from us. And I thought there was one more. The bicycle and pedestrian progress. And then 12 other things that you'll come up with before.
Does that date for everyone that is Thanksgiving week? Monday?
That's fine.
Yeah, it's okay for me.
I'm okay. Everybody else.
It's okay for me.
Okay, great.
Not going anywhere.
Okay. Moving on to item number 18, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. But it was just the campaign.